Are you prepared for the last quarter of your life, the last 25%, often referred to as those retirement years? Are you ready for the retirement years? We're going to talk about that, and I want you to join in. And here's really what the discussion's about today. How do we make the last quarter of our life intentional? How do we take the last quarter of our life and make it intentional for God's glory and for the benefit of those that we love? If you have a story, I'd love to hear from you. I'm Dr. Randy. This is Intentional Living. My number is 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717 is the number. How to be intentionally retired. By the way, I don't like the term retirement. God is not a big fan of retirement. In fact, it's only referred to once directly in Scripture, and I'll tell you about that in a moment. I was just telling the team here that, you know, we retire old computers and old shoes and old clothes and old people, unfortunately, in our culture way too many times. And we all know people who have, and maybe it's you, you have so much still to offer and give and share. And yet, not only are you retired in your own mind, but other people have done that as well. So how do you make those last 25%, you know, of life here on this planet intentional? Come and join us. 888-888-1717. As I said, God's not a big fan of the concept of retirement. I don't think we've been born to be retired. And yet we see the stats that a very, very small percentage of people really have thought about it, planned for it. And often the discussion just automatically gravitates to money, which is understandable because there's a change. You're not working. The income isn't there. And high percentage of people living, trying to live fully on Social Security, which can be difficult. But I'm thinking more about our lives and how we live our lives, our time, you know, number our days. The Bible says that we can have a heart after wisdom, Psalm verse 90:12. And we only see the reference to retirement once in Scripture, and it comes back in the book of Numbers in chapter 8, where God is laying out the job description for the Levites, the sons of Levi, you know, one of the 12 tribes, the sons of Jacob, right? And Levi's descendants were given a job description in Numbers chapter 8. And basically, they're the servants in the tabernacle. That's basically what they are. They're to work, to serve. It's hard labor. That's what these men are to do, to serve the others in the temple. And it's really interesting. Down at the end of that chapter in verse 23, here's what the Lord says. The Lord also instructs Moses, this is the rule the Levites must follow. So we pay attention. That's kind of like this is in the not only the job description, but these are the policy statements, God's policy statements for how this job is to be done. The Lord also instructed Moses, this is the rule the Levites must follow. They must begin serving the tabernacle at age 25. So they're training, obviously. These are young men growing up. They're getting strong. They're learning the ways of God. They're being prepared. They're being trained. And at age 25, they begin to serve. Verse 25, and they must retire. The only time that word is referenced in Scripture. And they must retire at age 50. Why? God doesn't like old people? I don't think that's it at all. It goes on to say, after retirement, they may assist their fellow Levites by serving as guards at the tabernacle, but they may not officiate in the service. Isn't that interesting? This is hard labor. God is bringing up a generation, you know, the 25 to 50-year-olds, when you have your strength and, you know, you're there and you're to serve. But when you hit 50, you're to turn the keys over to the younger generation. That's what's happening with the Levites. But hey, you guys can still serve, but you're no longer in charge. And I was really thinking there's kind of a three-part process that I think occurs in this period of time in our lives, and I'm there as well, and I'm not retired. I could have, but that wasn't something I was raised to ever understand that word. It wasn't even in my vocabulary, in my family. But the scripture's saying you serve hard, right? 25 to 50, 60, whatever the age is, you serve, and then you assist helping that next generation, serving in the church, serving, and then ultimately, and I know this is a painful period for many today, you need to be assisted. That's a reality. You serve, you assist, and then you are assisted. So I'll tell you why I'm doing the show today. We're live here in the studio because I want to hear specifically some things that you all are doing to plan for or are in retirement years, and you're being intentional with it. Now, one of two things are going to happen here. Either we're going to get a lot of calls because you all are doing it, or a lot of you are going to say, we haven't figured it out yet. And for both groups, we need each other. You can give me a call, 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. I've got some calls I brought in that I've recorded, people I've talked to. And I wanted to share this first one from a gentleman in Arizona because he'll get right into our face here and tell it as he sees it when it comes to this whole idea of being retired. Take a listen.
Hey, guys, this is Todd from Mesa, Arizona. And Dr. Randy, I'm just calling because I love your program. And I love your heart, and I just keep hearing all these people talk about retirement like it's heaven, like they've reached it, nirvana. And it breaks my heart because what I don't hear is I can't wait to retire because then I can work for the church full time for free and nobody has to pay me, and I can do the work of Jesus, and I can touch the orphans. I can volunteer at the nursing homes or the men locked in prison. And just be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. And it just breaks my heart because I read scripture that tells us that we, the older, are supposed to teach the younger. And this is what's wrong with our generation, is we have a gap. Our younger are seeing our older go, woohoo, retirement, goodbye, kids. I'm going to party, and I'm going to vacation, and I'm going to do all the things I've wanted to do. And that's not what it's about. Christ didn't get vacation. Christ didn't get a holiday. He worked every day of his life. And I just wanted to say, please pray and be the hands and feet of God. And you can still have fun. And you can go play with the orphans and change somebody's life and affect the community for Jesus. Because this is what's wrong with our society. I don't know if you guys know this, but I heard a statistic, 90% of people in Arizona don't even go to church, don't even know the Lord. And then half of them are confused because of everything else going on.
All right, Todd, I hope you'll speak your piece here. Seriously, thank you, Todd. I had a chance to record that some time ago, but I mean, he's right in our grill. He's telling us the truth. I mean, he's just saying, why are we here? I mean, if we're done, it seemed like God would call us home and say, you're done. I'm bringing you home here. But as long as we're here, we have something to do. And I know, and that's why I go back to that little model I shared with you, that we serve hard and then we assist. And frankly, that's been in my own life because, you know, I'm at a point age-wise and service-wise that Don and I prepared over the years. I do what we do here because I want to do this, not because I have to do this. I do this because I love you guys, and I love having an opportunity to encourage people at this stage in my life. But, you know, sitting and not serving, it makes me, when I look at all the potential and I see so many of us who are in this age group and have an opportunity to really make a difference in the lives of people, and yet our focus can be just on consuming and taking and receiving when God has called us to give and to serve. And how we can do that is different for everyone. I know there's different levels of strength and capacity and capability and all of that. I get it. I understand that. But at the same time, I hope the challenge today is, man, ask yourself, God, what is one thing that I could really focus on in my life, in this stage of my life, and then build a habit to make that an important part of my life? Maybe it's just a few hours a week, but it's something I do. Maybe it's serving in the church. Maybe it's reaching out in the community or finding some of the service organizations in your community, or serving your grandkids, or serving the neighborhood in some way, doing something where you can use the talent. Some of you have talents. You were you know, you had a whole lifetime of things that you were good at, that God gave you strength and capability to do, and now at a stage to be able to share with others. Really, really powerful. All right, come on in. You're welcome to join us. What have you learned, and how are you being intentional in this stage of life? 888-888-1717.
We wanted to travel all over in a motorhome and see the country and visit friends and family all over the country. And we were just going to have fun and travel in the RV in the summer and play games like RVers do and have a good time. Well, God had a different thing in mind. He had some friends of ours tell us about a volunteer organization. And you travel all over and you help build and repair churches, campgrounds, schools, you name it.
We both retired. I'm 66 and he's 67. And he spent his years as a master electrician and maintenance supervisor, and he developed a training course for men who are, or women, we do have a woman in the class, who wanted to get into some kind of maintenance work in factories. And in conjunction with our church, we've opened that up to the community.
My wife and I retired after 44 years of pastoring, and then a year later started working at Voice of the Martyrs. And I worked for them for 8.5 years, been to China twice, Thailand, Laos, Seoul, South Korea, and we smuggled Bibles into China. And I never dreamed the Lord would give me that opportunity.
Fired up. Listen, that is what it's about. All right, come join us. What have you learned? What are you doing during this last quarter? 888-888-1717, Mike in Michigan. How you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. How are you?
Good. What have you learned?
Well, you know, I think for myself is that, you know, as we're growing up, I became a Christian in my early or my late 20s, and I'm 70 now. And I think that as we walk with God and, you know, we're busy raising our families and kids and whatnot, you know, we lose contact with God. I mean, you know, we go to church every Sunday, and a lot of it turns out to be a duty, you know, and it's just a procedure. You know, you mow your lawn on Monday, you go to church on Sunday. And I think that as you get older and you have more free time and you've already raised your kids or your grandkids are in their 20s now, and you can sit back and realize all the things that God has done to shape you and mold you into the person that he wants you to be. Because I've always believed that God needs to work in us, and then that way he can work through us. And he'll put us in those positions where he's going to use us. And it could be, you know, with people that you come in contact with at the bank or grocery store or at the church or different organizations. But that as we seek God's will for our lives, as we get older, I think we, at least for me, I always refer to it as being on the same page with God, because a lot of times, you know, we either try to want to get ahead of God or we lag behind God.
Yeah.
But when you're on the same page, I think that just enables you to be able to do the things that God wants you to do, or really the things God has planned for you to do all along.
All right. You're 70 years old, Mike. You're 70.
Yeah.
What kind of things are you doing specifically during this stage in your life that you see as, hey, this is fulfilling, this is why I think God has me here?
Well, I think one of the things is listening to programs like you have, reading. I read every day. I try to get everything that I can get as far as Christian authors. You know, right now I'm going through the Elizabeth Elliot stories with, you know, her and her husband and the things that went on there. And just, you know, especially after what's happened, you know, in the world the last few weeks, and trying to think about how to talk to people when they say, well, I just don't understand why God allows bad things to happen to good people, you know. And then, you know, like with Jim Elliot, you know, he devoted his whole life to God, and it was like he didn't get to fulfill the things that he wanted to do, but yet it's still God's will was still manifested through his death, you know.
That's right.
It's just some of these things that I don't know if it's just it's just because I'm more open to the Holy Spirit, and it's guiding to me in my life and helping me to say, okay, you know, Mike, this is what I want you to do. This is how I want you to handle it. Or this is a situation, or this is a direction I want you to go. And I think out of being obedient, just that 100% obedience.
Yeah. And what we learn, Mike, too, in the process is as we get older, and I'm with you, man, you start to see the finish line. It's out there. It's a little closer, a little brighter than it used to be. And you said it well. while we're in the middle. And I hope today this isn't just older folks listening. I hope that you 30s and 20s and 30s and 40 year olds are listening, because this is coming and you're going to prepare for it or you're not going to prepare for it. And yet you may have a financial planner and you got all those things worked out on the financial piece of whatever retirement, but thinking about what your life is about. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 90 verse 12 that we are to number our days, that we can have a heart after wisdom. And serving is such a powerful thing, not giving up, but serving. You know, when I was a young man, I had a chance to meet Corrie Ten Boom. And for some of you, you probably know who she was. She lived through the Holocaust, and her family rescued Jews during the Holocaust. She saw her family and her sister perish. And there's been movies written about her and produced in her life, and The Hiding Place. And when I met her, she was an old lady, and yet still serving, traveling, sharing the gospel, encouraging people with a smile on her face. And I would say that for everyone, if you're in these retirement years, you still have a lot to offer. Even though we live in a different world, in a high-tech world, and sometimes you may feel like you're disconnected from what's going on with all the things in the world today, but there's a need for grounding, a need for connection with people. Let's take a break. We'll be back. You can join us if you're being intentional in retirement. How so? Specifically, I want to hear specifics. What are you doing? And what difference is it making? 888-888-1717.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Whenever a tripwire goes off in your life, I think we should ask two questions. One is, what's God's intention? What is God's purpose in this? What is God teaching me through this? What ought I learn through this? And the second one is, what is my intention? What am I going to do about it as a result of that tripwire? If God is using these 10 that I'm going to share with you to shake us or wake us up, then I think these are two profound questions for intentional living. What's God's intention and what's my intention? You've heard the message I've taught, be before do, right? Be before do. And this is sort of this, be before you do. What's God's intention and what's my intention? Tripwires, 10 of them. We need them in our lives to stay where we need to be and travel down the path that's going to bring glory to God and benefit, huge benefit to those we love, including ourselves and our family. Thank you for your support, by the way, you all who are standing with us. Your ongoing financial support makes a difference, allows us to do intentional living every day. Just go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, click on donate, or call 888-888-1717 and press number 2.
I'm Parkey Thompson with your Intentional Financial Minute. Retirement, it is something that you've been working towards and looking forward to for many years. You've been saving more and more for the day that you will officially say that you're retired. However, now the question's entered your mind. Is it biblical to retire? Did God ever intend on us retiring? I've searched and I only see one time when he talked about retirement, and that was back in the book of Numbers. I prefer to look at retirement as not a time of massaging the remote control, but a time to really do what you love to do. Let's face it, you've worked hard for 30 to 40 years, and now you have the time, and hopefully the funds, to do what you were wired to do. How about using that expertise in the ministry now? What about being a help at the local hospital and being a one more light for others to see? Maybe a volunteer or a mentor at the local school. The point is, retirement is not a time to quit, but it is a time of renewing and allowing us to do things intentionally to be of the service to others and a servant of God Himself. For Intentional Living, I'm Parkey Thompson.
Right on, Parkey. That's terrific. All right, let's go to Juanita in, is it Mississippi?
Missouri.
Oh, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. What are you doing in the, are you in the fourth quarter?
Am I what?
Are you in the fourth quarter of life?
I guess so. Yeah. Never heard it put that way.
Yeah, well, it's kind of a sports analogy, I think.
I'm 64.
All right. So what are you doing at this stage to be intentional?
Well, I lost my husband in 22, and I fell prostrate before the Lord. Walked with him since I was 9, but I fell prostrate before the Lord. Like, what now? What do I do? Yeah. What do you want? And he's like, one step at a time. And so I pursued a new church home, moved to where he said my church home was, which didn't make my kids really happy, but I did that. And then God led me into a 12-step. I wasn't an addict, but there's a 12-step recovery program to bring you emotional healing called regeneration, and I needed healing. So I went about emotional and spiritual healing, and then I also got physically healthy. And then now God has led me into leading a small group in that recovery program. Mm-hmm. And then I'm also mentoring a young mom that's going through the recovery program. And then I'm also 2 days a week working with inner city youth. I thought, okay, I'm helping people on the broken side of life. Maybe I can help kids so they don't become so broken and need recovery on the other end of life.
What has this done for you? What has this done in your life doing the, I mean, you were obviously very intentional. How is it impacting you?
It's very fulfilling. I mean, yeah, there's stressors and challenges in it, but it causes you to stay on your knees, and it gives you vibrancy and purpose and makes you reliant upon the Lord.
Yeah. You could have just sat, you know, like a lot of people, unfortunately, a lot of people, we get to this stage and something awful happens, and it does, and life takes a left turn. It's easy just to sit. And it sounded like you just said, like you said, you fell before God, said, now what? And then you got really intentional in doing some things.
And along with that, too, when you lose your spouse, you become, or I did, I became face-to-face with my own mortality. And I thought, you know what? I have 20 to 30 years more to make an impact for the kingdom.
Yeah.
So.
Well, good for you. All right. Well, I appreciate your call from Missouri today, Juanita. I'm glad you're listening.
Thank you so much.
God bless you. Keep up the good work. Listen, when I reference fourth quarter, for those of you who don't know, it's a sports analogy. You know, they got four quarters in a football game. Jennifer's with me. All right. And the fourth quarter, by the way, games are won and lost in the fourth quarter, by the way. The two-minute drill is a big deal in sports, if I take the analogy a step further. So don't give up just because you're in the fourth quarter and thinking, hey, maybe I didn't live the first three quarters the way I ought to, but here I am. Man, you can have a fantastic fourth quarter. And you just heard it from Juanita. She got back up off the floor and said, now what, God? And finding great passion in serving him. Fantastic. All right, let me go to Matt in Kansas. Hey, Matt, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Good. Thank you so much. Hey, those analogies of the fourth quarter, and you said that games are lost in the fourth quarter. Games can be won in the fourth quarter. I thought that was very telling if they understand the analogy.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, I'm working on the intentional living piece. Sometimes, you know, when we get to that retirement, it's not exactly how you expected it. So 2 years ago, I actually had, I went into heart failure and had a heart transplant. And that kind of stopped me in my track a little bit because, you know, I had to hold rehab. I had to learn to walk again, everything like that. But my goal has always been to start a business and use it to kind of as a training ground for young men and women. But, you know, I was thinking, I guess, training of men and really kind of walk alongside them and help them. And I just sent a note out a couple of days ago to about five people that I'd helped grow in their career into an executive position. And I sent them a note. I said, hey, you know, more to come here, but, you know, I'm thinking of, we're going to get something started, you know, and how we go about that, that's still open, but we're working on it. So my challenge was in the last few years, because I had to relearn to walk, I just did not have the ability to do some of the things I needed to do. My mind was fine. It just physically, the legs were bothering me. The heart was fine as well. So the intentional piece is very important to me because from the time I was young, I always expected that when I hit the quote unquote retirement age to retire from like the business world and then go into a ministry and, you know, just looking at that. And so that's where I'm at. I'm working it through, and I'm in a place where, you know, I started the wheels moving, and it's going to take a little bit of time. But, you know, the thing that I'm excited about is God's in the middle of us, because all of these men either knew Christ when I met him or met Christ through me.
Amen.
And not about me, but about God giving me the opportunity. And so that's how we're trying to intentionally live right now.
Oh, good for you. Listen, again, we can get sidetracked by things that come along. Heart failure and a heart transplant's a big one. That's a biggie. And yet Matt's saying, hey, I'm going to press on here. Take the heart I have that's working and use the time I have to bring him glory. And of course, with opportunities today to do that in so many different ways, that's a really powerful thing. This is good. I'll tell you what, we're going to continue this discussion right into tomorrow's show. And the way we're going to do it is because we're all here right now. We got folks ready to talk to, and I'll just record these and we'll share them tomorrow. But I'd like to have you join in. We have room for a few more. How are you being intentional in this fourth quarter? Because the games can be won and lost in the last quarter. And the players, have you ever noticed the players play even to the end when they're losing? They play to the end. I mean, the good players do. The good teams do. And you maybe feel like that. And you're playing now to win in a bigger race. And that's to finish strong. All right. With all that analogy, we're going to wrap up the show. But I'd like to have you call. Tell me your story, how you're being intentional in this fourth quarter at 888-888-1717. Got some great calls we're going to get to. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. This is Intentional Living. We're here every day from our Intentional Life Media Center and Family Life Radio Studios, where together we have one purpose, one goal, one passion, and that's to help people live intentionally in Jesus Christ. And you're welcome to be a part of it as you share your story at 888-888-1717. We're in this thing together. Let's make every day count. You know, the Bible says to us that we are to number the days that we can have a heart after wisdom, Psalm 90, verse 12. And I think of the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians, where he says, forgetting those things which are behind. And by the way, he had a lot of things behind him that brought him to this statement. I choose to do this one thing. I press toward the goal. And that's the way we should be living. Intentional living really comes down to two things. What is my one thing? And what are my daily habits? And when those two things align, wow, good things happen. Have a great day. This is Intentional Living, and it is a ministry of Intentional Life Media.